Howdy, howdy, howdy.
Please be turning to Judges chapter 16. You know, I decided it's going to be a good year. Now, how I decided that? How'd you decide that, Chevy? Thank you. Tomorrow's Super Bowl, right? Tomorrow's Super Bowl, right? No Cowboys. Samson. Learning to live by faith and not by sight. Lessons for all time from the last act of Samson. Somebody titled my sermon at Samson and Me, and that works for me. Judges chapter 16. By living by faith and not by sight, we, that's you, me, Samson, all of us, can be accepted by God. Judges chapter 16, and we'll start in verse 4. And it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah. Delilah, according to the online free Bible dictionary, means languished. To be become weak or feeble, to lose strength or vigor, crops languishing from lack of rain. To exist or to continue in miserable or disheartening conditions, like languishing away in prison. To remain unattended or to be neglected, legislation that continues in conference. To become downcast or pine away in longing, languishing apart from friends or family. And she said unto him, this is verse 5, speaking to Samson, how can you say, I love you, when your heart is not with me? You have mocked me these 3 times, and you have not told me where your great strength lies. And it came to pass, when she had pressed him daily with her words, and urged him, so that his soul was vexed unto death. You know, if you read the first part of the story of Samson, he had a wife who was also a Philistine girl. And if you go back and read in Judges 14, it says this, but she cried on his shoulder for the rest of the 7 days of the party. Finally, on the 7th day, he told her the answer because she made his life miserable. Then she told her friends the riddle. So Samson tells Delilah everything in his heart. So she called the Philistines, she took the money. And she made him sleep upon her knees. How sweet. You know, she probably drugged him because he fell asleep and he wasn't drinking milk and I don't think he was drinking wine. And they cut his hairs off. Picking up in verse 21, it says, but the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza. And in 2,000 plus years since, nothing's really changed. And bound him with fetters of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. In other words, he was tied to a grinding post, and he helped the donkeys turn, you know, 2,000-pound grinding stone to grind wheat, like an animal. Howbeit, verse 22, the hairs of his head began to grow again after he was shaven. Then the lords of the Philistines gathered them together to offer a sacrifice to Dagon. I'm wondering if that sacrifice was supposed to have been, the Bible doesn't say so, supposed to have been him. After all, he was a pagan god, right? Our God hath delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hands. And when the people saw him, they praised their God. For they said, our God hath delivered into our hands our enemy, the destroyer of our country, which slew many of us. You know, Dagon was just an idol. But I have a sneaking suspicion that Dagon was backed up by a demon. Because it does say, after all, we've wrestle against flesh, not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and spirits, evil in high places. I think Samson did too. And it came to pass when their hearts were merry, in other words, they were drinking, they said, call for Samson that we may make sport. And they called for Samson out of their prison house, and he made sport, and they set him between the pillars. So I said they were probably drinking, and they wanted some entertainment. Watching this man stumble around in the dark in chains, doing things that you know a mob does when they've been drinking and they want blood. from someone they hate. Notice what it says. They were watching with their eyes. They were fulfilling the lust of their heart. In this case, it was bloodlust. This is from Matthew Henry's concise commentary. I'll read a section to you, and I might make comments on the commentary. The first one I might make is I don't necessarily agree with everything that Matthew Henry says here. Nothing fills up the sins of any person or people faster than mocking and misusing the servants of God. And that's just as true today as it was at the beginning of time. Even though it may be by their own folly that they are brought low, God put it into Samson's heart as a public person, thus to avenge on them God's quarrel, Israel's and his own. This is important, and you'll see why in a moment. That strength which he had lost by sin, he recovers by prayer, and this is so true. That it was not from passion or personal revenge, but for holy zeal, for the glory of God and for Israel, it appears that God's accepting and answering of his prayer. The house was pulled down, not by natural strength, but by the almighty power of God. In this case, it was right he should avenge the cause of God in Israel. Nor is he to be accused of self-murder. Now, this is important because the question of suicide comes into play. Is it perhaps, and the Bible does not say this, is it perhaps that this is a battle that he won but lost his life? Because we know he fought 1,000, killed 1,000 men with a bone, and he didn't get killed. I don't know. But I know that when he prayed, he was accepted of God. So the question of suicide versus dying in battle, I'll let you decide. He sought not his own death, but Israel's deliverance and the destruction of their enemies. Thus Samson died in bonds among the Philistines as an awful rebuke for his sins, but he died repentant, and this is true. The effects of his death typified, now in this part I do not agree with, typified the death of Christ, who of his own will laid down his life among his transgressors. I wouldn't make that comparison. And thus overturned the foundation of Satan's kingdom and provided deliverance for his people. Great as was his sin, Samson, and justly as he deserved judgments he brought upon himself, he found mercy of the Lord at last, and every penitent person shall obtain mercy who flees for the refuge of that Savior whose blood cleanses from all sin. You know, when this occurred, I'm pretty sure that some of the Philistines looked at him and said, you know, his hair is growing back. Maybe his strength will come back too. That's why I say he might have been brought there as a sacrifice, not just entertainment. Because the reasonable man would say, this man's dangerous. Verse 26. And Samson said unto the lad that held him by hand, suffer me that I may feel the pillars upon the house that standeth, and I may lean upon them. Now the house was full of men and women, and all the lords of the Philistines were there. All the lords of the Philistines were there, and there upon the roof about 3,000 men and women that beheld Samson and were made sport from. And Samson called unto the Lord, and he said, O Lord God, remember me, I pray, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be avenged upon the Philistines for my two eyes. So if we go back for a little bit, Samson was like Superman. Like if you turned on the TV and watched one of those Marvel comic group movies, he did things that seem impossible. Of course, he didn't do them. God did them through him. And he's about to do another one like that. But you see, hard as this may sound, and I mean no disrespect when I say this, once he lost his physical sight, he had the insight of God. And I say that because we're all the same. Me, you, Samson, we're all the same. And not necessarily for good or for bad. Let me give you an example. Samson liked these Philistine women. Now, he should have married a girl from his own tribe or at least an Israelitish girl. He liked these girls. He liked to live by sight. You know, we're all the same. We want what we want. Let me give you an example, personal example. I came to church one time. I saw Denise. I said, I like her. It's not what occurs there that's important or sinful. It's what occurs after that, whether it be in human relationships, or it could be like I like a 68 Mustang with 700 cubic inches of nitrous oxide. That's lust. It's lust for speed. It's lust for power. It's not wanting the car. It's what I do with it when I drive it. I don't own one. It might be money. It might be power. It might be position. It might be adoration. You might be into being up here on stage and performing. It might be none of those things are wrong. It's how do they please God instead of self. So in this last act of Samson's life, he lived by faith instead of by sight, because quite obviously he couldn't even see where he was going to bring the house down. And Samson said, let me die with the Philistines. This is in his prayer to God. He asked God. So that might be a second point that we can consider. The first point, of course, is that we should live by faith and not by sight. And we should not be blind physically and stumble around, but we also shouldn't be blind spiritually and stumble around, because we are not Samson. He was called out to do that job. But you and I, sitting in this room today, are called out to do a pretty important job too. We're not here to worship on the Sabbath because we're just, you know, here to worship. Our love for God the Father and Jesus Christ is first and foremost. And second, to learn how to do something. We've been chosen. And it's not a job we can do. Physical eyes do not help you in fighting spiritual wars. They're useless. He asked God if he could die. And he bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon the Lord's and upon all the people that were then. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew during his life. So then they took him and they buried him. You know, Samson lived some of his life by sight. And so do I, and so do we all. He knew Delilah was poison to him, but he wanted what he wanted, and so do we all. It's not that that matters. It's what you do when you enter that situation. And I'll show you that I mean what I say about that in a moment. But first, I want to remind you of some scriptures that will help you to connect what I'm saying with the reality of today. First is Ephesians 6:12. Please don't turn there. I'll read it to you. You know the scripture anyway. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. I can't possibly win a fight like that. It's impossible for me. My only hope is that God is with me, and that is living by faith, not by sight. Samson really knew the fight was God's and not his. Here's a question. Did God cause Samson to lose his sight? No. But he allowed it. Samson killed himself and thousands of people. Is that what God wanted? You know, these people were bad people. We know that they were bad people. To this day, they're not righteous people. Two words, Jonah and Nineveh. God's a God of life, not a God of death. God's a God of repentance, and he will grant repentance to those who do repent. If anything, the people of Nineveh were worse than these people, and God granted them repentance, and he would grant anyone who wants to repent repentance. This is what happened. This is the story. Galatians 5, 16 and 17. Again, I'll just read it to you for time's sake. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you've heard this scripture recently here, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh, for the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit. And the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh, for these things are opposed to each other, to keep you from doing the things you want to do. I want to do righteous, but my flesh wants to do something else. James 1, 14 through 15. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. What I see is what I want. Then desire, when it is conceived, gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. Hebrews 11. And again, I'll just read it to you. I told you the man was a hero. There's no condemnation to him, nor do I. Verse 32 in Hebrews 11, the faith chapter, the chapter of heroes. And what shall I say more? For the time would fail me to tell you of Gideon and of Barak and of Chevy and of Jephthah. Wait, it doesn't say that. It says Samson. And I thank God for that, because I would cringe at the thought of having all my miserable life spread over the pages of the most well-read book of the world. This man was a hero and a faithful man. This is the chapter of faith, because he walked by faith. He lived by faith. And like you and me, sometimes he made mistakes. The last thing I want to read to you is about us. Philippians 1:6. Being competent of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in me, a good work in you, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Dropping down to verse 28. Don't be intimidated in any way by your enemies. This will be a sign to them that they are going to be destroyed, but you are going to be saved, even by God himself. For you have not been given not only the privilege of trusting in Christ, living by faith, and here's the hard one, but also the privilege of suffering for him. We're in this struggle together. This is Paul speaking. You have seen my struggle in the past, and you know that I am still in the midst of it, which is a message for another time.